This episode of Comics for Fun and Profit is brought to you by Threadless. More importantly, the Comics Fun Profit shop on Threadless at comicsfunprofit.threadless.com, where you can find, about half a dozen different designs, plenty of Comics for Fun and Profit themed merch. If you just want a t-shirt, you're good. And if you want sweatshirts or other swaggy items, and you can get anything. Phone cases, shower curtains, it runs the gamut. Skateboards, I think. So check that out. We've already sold several. We're excited about the fact that the folks that want to support us in this way are able to and wear our merch out in the real world. That's pretty exciting stuff. So yeah, get your Comics for Fun and Profit branded items at comicsfunprofit.threadless.com.
Thank you for listening to Comics for Fun and Profit. This is Kyle and Drew with your sneak peek at next week. Episode number 808 for comics originally coming out March the 14th and March the 15th. But before Drew and I get into what's coming up in your local comic book shops this coming Tuesday and Wednesday, Drew, how is it going and what do we got going on in the world of comics?
Pretty good. Are those little chickens I hear in the background?
Yeah, you may hear some peeps. I have some 3-week-old chickens in the background. That have...
On this episode of Chickens for Fun and Profit.
It's exactly.
We talk about chicken maintenance and egg production.
All right, so you buy them at 3 days old. You want to keep the temperature at about 95 degrees for the first week there. You're doing the high-protein chick starter. Make sure they keep plenty of water and keep their bedding fresh.
Oh, that's good to know. At what point are they big enough where they can just go out in your yard and eat bugs and stuff?
It just depends on the weather. So, like, I'm not taking them out till the weather stops getting the 40s in the evenings. So we probably got another 4 weeks.
And then when will they be big enough to lay an egg? A year from now?
4 months.
Four months they start laying eggs?
Actually, closer to 6 months. Sorry, 6 months.
I paid $6 for a dozen eggs the other day, so it's pretty tempting.
Let's get to cranking them.
Yeah, let's get them, give them some steroids and get those things popping out of there. So, that's awesome. So we'll have to do a special Chickens for Fun and Profit on our Patreon feed for our patrons. Jason reached out with a question he may have asked before. If a movie studio gave each of you $1 billion, what movie series, not Marvel or DC, would you make into a movie?
I'd just take it and run.
I would make a $1 movie and I would keep the rest.
I have a ton of Image comics that I would want to make. I would make.
You'd be doing all these stupid crime noirs, though.
I would. It would be a lot of Brubaker movies. I do Southern Bastards.
Yeah.
I definitely want to do that. I'd probably want to do all the BKV stuff that I would pick up. The stuff that got canceled.
Yeah. We'd redo Why the Last Man correctly.
Reboot that.
Obviously, Saga's the big dog answer.
Yeah. Finish.
Rat Queens.
Yeah.
I mean, especially with, like, we see the D&D movie coming out.
Yeah.
And all I can think is, crap, Rat Queens would have made such a dope movie.
That's true. That could have been something. But yeah, those would be.
I mean, I'm not big into horror, but, like, Something is Killing the Children is going to make a great series.
Yeah.
It's just going to be done so well. I can't wait.
He also asked who you choose to direct it. I'd direct it myself. I mean, movies don't need to be directed nowadays. You know, I don't think there's any auteurs out there really making great movies.
Who's directing the John Wick stuff?
Oh, yeah. That stuff's pretty good.
Yeah.
And like a Fincher, but it's just it'd have to be the right. So he could do the crime noir stuff.
Absolutely.
Have Fincher do that.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Stars, I don't care about casting.
Yeah, don't care about casting. Give me awesome unknowns.
I will run the casting couch, though, for the female leads.
Easy, Harvey.
But Jason, I think you've asked that this question 14 different ways. I think we've got it. I think we've covered it.
I have changed the answer. This is the first time Rat Queens has come out, so keep asking.
That's true. Keep asking.
I keep changing my answers. Yeah. Hey, Drew, I found a nice little life hack. Guess what it is?
I wonder. I might have the same thing. You tell me.
There you go. It's these neat little magic mind elixirs. It's this little all-natural drink to drink in the morning. A productivity drink, I think they call it.
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty cool stuff. It's got matcha in it, which I've never been able to like afford matcha because it's a very high priced like green tea. That's, I don't know, they pull it from the mountaintops or something. Yeah. but it's like a concentrated version of matcha, and it's like the best green tea flavor you'll ever taste.
Absolutely. But
I drink this with my coffee in the mornings. And work days, my mornings are uber productive. I don't know, like I'm not bouncing off the walls or anything. I just have like a little more energy, a little more clarity. You know, it's not it makes my mind magic, I guess. You know what I mean?
See, for me, it solved a nice little problem. I have this unfortunate energy drink obsession. I drink one to get ready in the morning as I go. You know, the 140 milligrams of caffeine or whatever. But then midway through my 8-hour day, I talk myself into having a second one. And that's a little too much. It becomes kind of an expensive day. That's a lot of caffeine. And I'm still getting the crash from it. So I'm working on weaning my way off of that second energy drink, just having a little bit of caffeine in the morning. And these magic minds help me kind of finesse that way through, keep the sustained energy through the day, and not have to do a whole nother big giant energy drink the second half of the day.
It's cut my pots of coffee from 2 to 1, which is, you know, a healthy choice.
Absolutely.
I'm burning through these, so I'm going to be using our code to restock. And if you go to magicmind.co/comicsfunprofit and use our code ComicsFunProfit, you get 56% off the subscription for the next 10 days with this code. You can use that same code ComicsFunProfit to get 20% off, but you get 50% off if you do the subscription model in the next 10 days. So
56% off. They're really hooking you up.
Yeah, more than half. More than half. I'm no math whiz, but that's pretty good. So yeah, check out Magic Mind. We like it. And we think it's helping us make some healthy choices, which is what we need to do.
Absolutely.
Well, this time we are going to hit, we finished Image, we finished DC, we finished Marvel. This time we're going to start with Boom and go through some of our mid-tier publishers in our May releases, so the March previews.
There you go.
We're starting with well, it looks like we're starting with Ghost Lore.
No, we zigged when we should have zagged.
That's not really a solicit, is it?
No, that's just the cover page for Boom.
That's just an ad.
Yep.
So we're going to go into another Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Buffy the Last Vampire Slayer, The Lost Summer.
I've heard that before.
$8 one shot.
Yeah. I wonder if, I think I asked this. Did you ever watch that show?
I saw the OG movie, but I did not watch any of the actual show.
I believe that's where I left off as well.
Yeah. The OG movie was, what's his face in the movie or in the show?
Who's what's his face, man?
Mandalorian, Last of Us, Pedro Pascal.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I can't remember which one he was. He was in one of them because he was talking about Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Oh, because he was like a minor bit player. It was the show.
Yeah, it was the show.
I'm pretty sure it was a show. So Ghost Lore number one, it's a 12-issue Colin Bunn book, illustrated by Leo Max, all caps, Brian Hearn, I don't know what that's about. New supernatural ongoing series, Bands of Killadelphia and Bone Orchard, Black Feathers. Not the original. If you're a fan of the original Bone Orchard, this is not for you. But if you're a fan of Bone Orchard, Black Feathers, and Killadelphia, then this might be for you. That's weird. Basket Full of Heads is who Leo Max is. I knew I recognized that from somewhere.
Was he always capitalized or did he just get his capitalized?
It feels like that's new.
Be on the lookout because Jenny Frizzin is getting one of these covers. Oh, there it is. We actually get to see it. There it is.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't like, I like when she draws pretty girls, not scary stuff. Oh, there. I mean, there it is. It's not bad.
Yeah. I got introduced her as the scary stuff. So.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. You know, I was just thinking about doing a reread of Revival.
Mm-hmm.
If I ever get bored with the new stuff. That's one I need to reread.
Do you ever make it under 13 books a day?
Yeah, exactly. Lots of good stuff there.
Yep. Yep. Once Upon a Time at the End of the World.
Which I've only read the first issue of, and I liked it. I just haven't got around to the rest of them. Yeah. But yeah, the first issue was really good. The Expanse is giving us a second issue of its 12. Yeah, probably not unless you've read the book or watched the show. Will you enjoy this book? I would guess. Yeah.
Then we get the Flaviano and Dave Johnson Grim Reaper pack for Grim 1 through 5. They've been doing this thing where they've been recollecting the five of them and just doing them with specialty covers.
So it's not a trade. It's five loose.
It's five loose with new covers.
That's weird, right?
Yeah.
So it's like second prints. But it's probably been through multiple printings.
Here's how they sell it. Whether you missed out on the widely sold out early issues of Grimm or are just an avid collector, this limited edition Grimm Reaper pack of 1 through 5 will never be resurrected with a reprint, so don't let it slip away. Featuring five brand new exclusive covers by David Johnson.
But who's doing this Dan Mora? Where's this Dan Mora cover at? Oh, is that from the Expanse?
Yeah.
Before? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not as good.
No.
And then we're going to do a trade for Grimm 2, Volume 2.
House of Slaughter on 15.
Win Book 3. The Seasons Have Teeth, 2 of 4. That's the Dan Waters book. Neighbors is 3 of 5.
It's a freaky deaky cover. Ooh, and there's an Yuck Lee cover.
Harrower finishes up with its fourth issue. Mosley finishes with its fifth issue. Eve, Children of the Moon gets collected.
Yep.
Don't think I read that one.
Mm-mm. It was the weird stuffed animal thing.
Oh, that's right. Incorruptible, the complete soft cover by Mark Waid.
Power Rangers 108. They are doing the action figure covers as well.
Magic Soul and Stone. Not the Jed McKay written Magic series. It's a different one.
And this is $25.
Yeah.
Collects Magic a Johnny Goldmane number one and Magic Nahiri the Lethomancer number one. So it's a collected edition of just two trades.
Yeah.
Or two singulars.
Dune. It's on issue 5 of 12. Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
This is the OG Buffy the Vampire Slayer, not to be confused with the last Buffy the Vamp or whatever we started out with.
Yeah, this is it's just the rebooted one that hit like issue 200 and some.
Yeah.
Maybe.
We'll pull the legacies out when we need them.
Yeah. That's it. When we're sliding into Dark Horse.
Miss Truesdale and the Fall of Hyperborea. This is another Mike Mignola verse.
Yep. Which they don't have a lot going on, so. Lonesome Hunters gets a sequel. Tyler Crook book. It's called The Wolf Child. That's first issue. Murder, Inc. Jagger Rose, 1 of 6.
Brian Michael Bendis.
And your boy, Michael Avon Oeming.
Hey.
That's cool. Did I read Murder, Inc.? Don't think so. Survival number one from Sean Lewis. Brendan Everett on art. That's what's that this about. This
book takes place in Alaska. Plane crash.
Red Dawn meets 30 Days of Night. Okay.
Ooh, okay. Okay.
That's pretty good.
I actually like the whole, up in the Pacific Arctic and all that area, it's night for long periods of time, so therefore that would be perfect for a vampire scenario. I like that, actually, so.
It's a good concept, yeah.
Yeah.
It isn't like 30 Days of Night. Isn't that a zombie? Is that zombies?
No, it's vampires.
Oh, it's vampires? Okay.
Yeah.
The Flux House imprint gives us Hairball number 2 of 4, the Matt Kent, Tyler Jenkins book. And issue 4 of 5 on Blue Book, James Tynion, the fourth book. Not this fourth book, but James Tynion, the fourth, his book. Clear finishes up with its 3rd of 3. And then a Master of the Universe finishes up. It's a Tim Seeley book.
Yeah, it's just four. A nice little 4-issue run there.
We're still doing we're still milking Stranger Things. This is Tales from Hawkins. It's 2nd of 4.
But it's the Murray Bowman stuff. I think I would definitely read a Murray Bowman book. So that I may jump on this one.
That was my least favorite part of that series.
You didn't like him? Oh, I think he's awesome.
No, the Russian guy? No, he's not the Russian guy. He's the tech guy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's all right.
Star Wars High Republic Adventures 7 of 8, and we're not even getting covers on these. Interesting. Same thing with High Republic Adventures Nameless Terror 4.
Just because we're behind, you think?
That's exactly what I was going to say. It's not because it's anything that we're not allowed to review. We just are far behind.
Yeah.
Same thing with Hyperspace Stories 8.
The Great British Bump Off. I'm probably going to read this because it's a murder mystery. Mm-hmm. Even though it's campy looking. Probably going to read it anyway. All 8 Eyes. It's like a Monster Hunter book. Jaws meets Arachnophobia.
Well, no, All 8 Eyes, it's spiders.
Yeah. Where Monsters Lie, it's issue 4 of 4. This book, first two were really cool. Enjoyed them a lot. Serial Killer Town is discovered. A lot of different serial killers living in a little cul-de-sac. And I'm hoping that it's popular enough that they do another volume. Because I'm already halfway through and they're just kind of scratching the surface. There's so many different ways they can go. Right. You know, Kyle Stark.
Did I know that Masquerade was a Kevin Smith book?
Yeah, you did.
Did I? Okay, I just forgot.
I think so. This is part of his secret stash press imprint. Assassin's Apprentice finishes up.
Last one on that one.
Final Skull and Bones.
Skull and Bones, yeah.
Space Job finishes up with its 4th issue. And Order and Outrage has one more. Next month, nothing from Dark Horse.
I was going to say.
Everything's finished. Maybe a toy or something.
There you go.
Not much there. They don't have a lot of new ones launching.
Mm-mm.
They better crank up the old comic machine.
Everything's lying and waiting for June.
Maybe Dynamite will rescue us. They're gonna give us Maleficent.
Oh, Disney. They're leaning back into Disney. Yep.
Have they done this before?
Well, we had Scar previously.
Oh, that's right.
So, villains, here we come. That is cool that's a Jai Lee cover, though. I do like that.
Vampirella versus the Superpowers, an all-new mystery from Dan Abnett.
Dude, how cool. I'm wondering if, because we got a bunch of covers from Maleficent, is it going to go the ways of the Vampirella covers?
Oh, we're going to do some cosplay, right?
We're going to do some Cheesecake Maleficent.
Well, will Disney allow that?
That's my curiosity, because they sure picked a partner that loves to.
Yeah. What if they've done their research? And Vampirella is giving us tons and tons of variations of that. I don't know. I'm still hitting Vampirella.
Still scrolling through
10 Vampirella. Pages later. Holy moly. Then we get to Elvira in Monsterland. I thought we just did a new Elvira. Guess we're going to just keep doing that.
Keep on keeping on.
Ain't mine in that area as well.
Yeah. And we got the collected Elviras.
We've got Elvira? Is that who Ouija I'm looking board. At there in that picture? With the red hair?
No.
You don't think?
No.
Yeah. 176. You don't think that's her?
Correct.
Who is it? If it's not her, who is it?
Cassandra Peters.
Who's that?
Looks like a writer.
Is Elvira alive?
I don't know. I do not know the answer to that.
We need to find out.
That may actually be Elvira.
I think that's just her without her wig on.
Yeah.
I think if you look close, I think you can see it. I think that's her.
Very well could be. I'm not real versed on my Elvira.
No. I think she used to have like a late night show.
Yeah.
Like bad movies.
Mm-hmm.
Or B movies. Not bad movies.
Pathfinder Wake the Dead, number one. Fred Van Lente. Of course, Pathfinder is just a different version of Dungeons & Dragons.
Is that an Elvira
Ouija board? Yeah, I pointed that out earlier. They call it a switchboard.
Awesome. That is cool. Pathfinder. Is that one of the... Have you played that with...
I have.
And?
It's fun. It's similar to D&D rules from 2 than it is from 5e and stuff. So, really fun action economy.
So, that means it's...
It's just easier? A title. I would say, yeah. But it's just a different way of saying that we're essentially writing D&D type stories with D&D type archetypes.
So the Advanced Dungeons & Dragons continues to evolve their rules, whereas Pathfinder just picks an era of D&D rules. Is that what you're saying?
I don't know the complete difference between what 2E and what Pathfinder 2E is, but it just kind of stuck with that rule set and went with it.
So, like, if I dug out my Player's Handbook and Dungeon Master's Guide and Monsters Manual from the late 80s, early 90s, would it be, like, null and void?
You could play that, but, like, there's a lot more freedom to do a lot of different things in 5e, and there's a lot more power creep in 5e and stuff. So, I mean...
Gotcha. So, I would get my ass handed to me. If I'm playing with the originals... I would be nerfed compared to what the new stuff is.
Yeah, of course, obviously a DM's going to try to pull you back in, but yeah, hypothetically, some of the newer classes with a bunch of the newer stuff have pushed the limits, as it were.
Gotcha. Orskar. Dynamite's just going to lean into that. So it's basically going to be like Marvel's kid comic arm, I guess.
It's just a nostalgia machine as much as it can be a nostalgia machine from this. And then, like I said, next is Gargoyles here, and it's crazy.
But it's doing the all-agey Star Wars titles.
Yep.
And some other Disney connections. So
it's just weird that you can have 16 books here with all-agey and then... 40 nude Vampirella covers right after
that. And then nude Vampirella. Yeah, you really should pick a lane.
Yeah.
I mean, do the people that like work on the different books, like they have different offices? Separated?
Yes. Never to be spoken.
Or are the deviants doing the nudie cheesecake covers like right next to the gargoyle people?
Yeah.
Darkwing Duck. That's hilarious. Or is it the same guy? Then we have the second issue of James Bond for King and Country. No, I'm sorry.
King and Country.
This is Philip Kennedy Johnson, who was just named for... What book is he taking over? Hulk, maybe? I think he's taking over Hulk.
Not sure on that one.
Barbarella on issue 4.
I'd like the, going back to the 007, I like the Leslie Lee.
Oh, yeah.
The Lyrix cover. I think those are, she can do good work. I'd like to see more covers from her.
Deja Thoris continues to be a thing. Draculina also exists.
Exists.
Mad Balls and Garbage Pail Kids.
Yeah.
Trying to get Kyle's generation to part with some money.
Purgatory must die.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the horror genre, I guess, is still, you know.
Yeah.
Has its fans.
Siren's Gate 5. Apparently that's the werewolf.
Okay. And that's it. That's it. That's our mid-tier.
Ah, the classic mid-tier.
It used to be a little healthier. Who used to be in there that's not in there anymore? We're missing a publisher. I'm trying to think of who it is. Who left?
Boom.
No, IDW.
IDW. Yeah.
IDW is gone. And so that does take out a chunk. They need to elevate an AWA, an Aftershock, a Titan, some of the, pick a publisher with enough market share that puts out, hell, even if it's a half a dozen, 10 books a month, you'd be on par with some of these other three that mm-hmm. we're going over, right?
Oh, yeah.
But you need to elevate somebody to this mid-tier to make it a little meatier. Because these three, I mean, slim pickings, man.
Yeah.
Slim pickings on some of these publishers. Just, was it Dark Horse we were just looking at? That's like everything was ending?
Mm-hmm.
Like everything is on its final? I can't, that's not sustainable. You're not filling the pipeline. Oof. All right. That's enough whining. Let's head on over, look at some CBSI jewels that they found. Yeah.
We're going to head on over to comicbookinvest.com, look at their hot 10 books, the hot 10 books for March the 3rd. We're a week behind. And we're going to start with their very first item, Stargirl and the Lost Children, number 4, the Todd Knock 1 in 25 variant, which is commanding $100. Like all three covers of this issue, can't find anything in the guts of it that's of any real significance, so this must be just cool covers. Low print run comes into play as well. Two out of the three check marks that make a modern book hot.
So this is Stargirl and the Lost Children,
mm-hmm.
but it's actually a Flash cover.
Yep.
From the Golden Age.
Yeah.
That's an interesting take.
Mm-hmm.
Confusing. I can see the appeal. You can't afford these books. You can't afford the Golden Age versions of these. Okay. All right. Why not? We've homaged everything else. Let's do it. Even though it doesn't really have any connection to Stargirl, right?
Yeah, correct.
Okay. All right.
At rank 2, we have Something is Killing the Children, number 27, the Comics Pro variant. This is also commanding at $100. Not sure how many of these were available at Comics Pro, but this right now is the clear winner from this year's show. Something is Killing the Children has made a nice rebound for sure.
Rebound from what? Like from their highs, I guess?
Yeah, well, they faded for a small bit, and now that...
Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah, they're being optioned or whatnot, they're back up. At rank 3, Contest of Champions, number 1, the Lenailil Francis U, 1 in 25, another $100 raw book. CGC 9.8's $850. White Fox Speculation is back again. Tons of variants for this issue, but this is the rarest of them all.
Okay.
At rank 4, Something is Killing the Children, number 5. $220 for raw, CGC 9.6 for $280. This is the lowest print run for any regular Something is Killing the Children issue. Incredible cover and cameos. This book checks all those boxes.
Okay. How can you have $220 on a raw and only $280 for a CGC book?
Because it's a 9.6, it's not a 9.8.
Really, though?
Yeah.
I mean, it's still been processed.
Mm-hmm.
It's still $40 worth of processing.
Mm-hmm.
So really, you're going to, because it's a modern book, it's either a 9.8 or it's garbage.
Correct. At rank 5, Deadly Neighborhood Spider-Man, number 5, $20 to $25. First appearance of Dream Spider. How many spiders can we actually friggin' have?
That's enough spiders. I'm done with spiders.
Yeah. At rank 6, G.I. Joe, number 21, silver foil variant from 2003. A CGC 9.8 is $1,200. 9.6, $800. A G.I. Joe Grail for a lot of fans. This one is a great Turner cover. Out of my price range for sure, but keep trying to find these.
Is the Grail because it's the silver foil or there's somebody?
I mean, it's got a bunch of, it's got Snake Eyes, it's got Snow Job or whatever. It's got, the Baden bad guy. Yeah.
I can't believe you're pulling these out from your childhood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a good one. At rank 7, Star Wars The High Republic, The Blade. Number 3, the Lenailil Francis U, 1 in 25 variant. $40. First cover appearance of one of the albino twins from The Matrix and Hellboy.
That's a joke, right?
Correct. That's not who that actually. At rank 8, The Mandalorian number 8, the Terry Dodson one in 50, is a $50 to $60 book. Not surprised that people would want a nice little solo Grogu variant. Slightly surprised that it isn't selling for more, but I think the lack of an original story in the guts turns off many to this series.
Somebody who has been whining around about that from the very beginning.
Yes, 100%. At rank 9, we have Battle Chasers number 1, the Joe Madureira variant. CGC 9.6s are $230, 9.8s, $325, Rawls, $90. No offense to Mads, but this is literally one of my top 10 worst covers ever. I think it's cute.
Why do we hate it?
He's just not a fan. Too much booty.
Too much booty. Gotcha.
I mean, it's very disproportionate, and if you look at, like, what's going on with the boob there behind the hand, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
But it looks like another elbow.
Yeah, it's great, great. Yeah.
Gotcha.
At rank 10, Echo of Future Past, number 1, was a $20 to $25 book. Now it's a $40 to $50 book. Interesting run on Bucky O'Hare books this week. Couldn't figure out any particular reason for that. If you know some reason why that would have happened, please feel free to comment why they're going up.
Yeah, it's like the painted cover look.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting.
And honorable mentions, Veronica 197, $50 for direct and $60 for newsstand. These Archie books from this time period are not very easy to find. And this is a Christmas book.
Yeah, okay.
And the other honorable mention, The Thrill Book, October 1st, 1919. Wow. $29,000. Dang. From what I can tell, it is assumed that there are very few of this pulp in existence, like maybe even 20 or fewer. 100-year-old books are not something you see every day.
100-year-old disposable comic books. I mean, that's amazing, right?
Yeah, that it's lasted this long.
Yeah.
Drop that beast in a top loader.
I might spend the money on the Mylar for that one.
Yeah.
Very, very cool. I believe it's FOC time.
All right. FOC is, of course, our final order cutoff. It's where Drew and I are given one last chance from our good friends at Cowabunga Comics and Direct and Deep Discount Comics, where they finally say, you know what? You guys might have screwed up when you were ordering for previews. We'll give you one last bite at the apple for the discounted price before these things shipped, and you got to chase it on the secondary market. So Drew and I are going to go through and find out what the good stuff is. We are heading over to Lunar Distributions and look at the March 12th items.
I clicked on the wrong one. So it needs to be 312, right?
Yes.
Gotcha.
You'd think you'd have this figured out by now. Speaking of having it figured out, Art Germ's got it figured out. Batman 134 cover C is a beautiful punchline cover by Art Germ. And Frank Cho has the cover D1 and 25 that Drew won't let me pick. An amazing cover.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like them. I like them both. Very nice.
Then, yeah, you want some screaming covers? We've got Batman and the Joker, the Deadly Duo 6. We've got the Sienkiewicz B and the Sienkiewicz C. If you want a murky Batman screaming or a murky Joker screaming.
No offense to my boy,
everything you want.
Bill Sienkiewicz, but did he run out of time on the B cover? Or are we just not seeing it in its glory?
He lives in shadows, Drew. He lives in shadows.
That's just like, it's like, you know what? I got the teeth done. What else do they want from me? I am just going to put the rest of it. I'm just going to get my black crayon out, and I'm finishing this bad boy up.
And ironically enough, if you look at cover E, the one in 50, we have exactly the opposite. Somebody who put a million times the detail into this face of our good old cop.
Oh, Gordon.
Yep. Yeah. Commissioner Gordon.
Didn't bother coloring it.
Oh, for love.
I don't know. I don't understand the appeal of sketch. I really don't.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
The purity without the
color. I guess, yeah. I guess you see the line work a little more clearly. That makes sense.
Man, you ever look at a 1 in 100 and think, boy, that, why would you pick that artist for the like expensive book?
Yeah.
Getting those vibes from Batman and the Joker, the Deadly Duo number 6, this John McCrae variant.
Yeah. I mean, if you flipped it with the 1 in 25 and you gave Gillum March the 1 in 100.
Yeah.
I can see that there being enough Gillum March people out there to chase that. Maybe I'm missing something on the John McCrae. It's like a old school-ish. That print run can't be high. I don't know who's gone after it.
Don't know either.
So that means it's going to be scarce.
Means it doesn't matter what it looks like.
I guess not. I guess if there's only four of them, people will really want it. Batman Vengeance of Bane gets a one-shot. It's a facsimile edition.
Facsimile, yeah.
Count Dante is number one from Scout Comics. Deceased War of the Undead Gods finishes. Let's see if it stays dead. Its eighth issue comes out. First three from Comic Exchange. No, not Comic Experience. CEX. Yeah. See how that is?
Interesting.
Somebody cool is taking over Flash. I can't remember who it is. There's going to be a new Flash creative team coming as well.
It's right with that Lee Bermejo.
Lee Bermejo doing Flash?
No, sorry. I said look at that Lee Bermejo, that Joker, the Man Who Stopped Laughing 7. Cover B.
Still not there.
It's literally at the end of the page you were looking at, or the next page. So it's like the Flash books, and then it's the end.
Okay. So where does this... Is this... sought after Lee Bermejo, or just another Lee Bermejo?
Just another feather in his cap, another really good looking
book. Okay. All right.
Whereas this Francisco Mattina with the Rose of Teeth, that I could, let's never look at that book again.
Yeah. Oh, I know. Flash is Cy Spurrier and Mike Deodata. And Wonder Woman is going to be Tom King taking over that one. Maybe. Might get me to try it.
We just talked last week that we are not Tom King haters.
Nope. I'm not a big, huge fan of Wonder Woman either.
That's true.
Let's save that for next week. Previews. Yosef, 1957, number one, is another comic experience book. Looks like it's about the Russian cosmonaut dog sent out into toward Sputnik. Only it's a monkey, not the dog, a monkey.
That's completely different.
Yeah. Sounds familiar, too. I think somebody's done that story.
Yeah.
Poison Ivy with its 11th issue. Got a really neat Seb McKinnon painted cover. I like that a lot. It's kind of ethereal. Got a foil version of that as well. Jessica Fong. That's a good cover. No Frizen, though.
I was just about to say, no Frizen, though.
She's doing that work over for, what was that thing that launched that you were looking at?
Oh, shoot, yeah. I was just seeing her on the cover.
Maleficent?
Yeah.
She was doing a Maleficent cover?
No, it was something else, but...
Yeah. I don't know what Soko number one is, or what Sumerian, I guess, is the publisher, but it's about Serbian beat caps.
Unique on damage. Junkrabbit number one. Jimmy Robinson.
Okay. Hey Kids Comics comes out with its first issue. Well, its third volume. I don't think Junkrabbit did it for you during the preview stage. So I'm not sure if FOC is going to grab you either.
Might not.
Love Everlasting is on issue 6. Is that the final? Oh, no. No, still an ongoing. That's good. That's good. Finishes up that volume. Phantom Road on issue 2. That was, first issue was really good. Jeff Lemire, Jordy Belair, Gabriel Hernandez-Walto. I don't know. I liked it. I hope it continues to be good. Nightclub is on 4 of 6. For some reason, I thought that was a 4-issue series about the YouTube wannabe kids that become vampires. Only got a couple more before it bails. We're going to reissue Postal as a compendium, the complete collection. Curious what's all in that. I love that book. 25 issues of Postal Laurel, and Postal Mark. So 27 issues or so. All right, that seems fair. $40 minus your discounts. Well worth it. Stillwater hits issue 18. Is this penultimate or final? Yeah, series finale. After all these years, the town of Stillwater is no longer still. Reaches its epic extra length conclusion for $5. I hope he hits the landing. The last couple have been kind of shaky for me. Sweet Paprika gets a black, white, and pink one shot. And Walking Dead Deluxe comes back with its 60th issue. Can't remember who they bring on for that.
And we're still getting three covers.
Still three covers when I said they'd stop doing that, right? That's all for Image. I'm going to head down to Boom. Mosley, I don't think I read that one. Seasons Have Teeth, I'm looking forward to reading that one.
Dan Waters.
At least to give that a sample. What's a conflict photographer?
I assume they send them to wars.
Drop into like hot zones or something?
Yeah.
I'll give it a shot. I don't know that'll stick.
We shall see.
Yeah. Dark Horse gives us the second issue of Clear and the first of Hairball.
Hairball, man. It's freaky.
Yeah. That might be a good one.
Star Wars High Republic 5 of 8. They're, again, not giving us the cover art on even that. And we are a couple weeks away.
Where are you at? Oh, I see.
Yeah, I was Dark Horse after Skull, Star Wars.
After Skull and Bones.
Yeah.
Before Where Monsters Lie. Then down in IDW, getting fifth issue of Dark Seas. And another TMNT Last Ronin, Lost Years.
With an Eastman cover, we're not getting.
We're not going to see that.
Yep. Gavin Smith doing the cover C. That's good to see.
Yeah.
Like Gavin Smith.
Marvel's got lots of Marvel stuff. Second printing for Cosmic Ghost Rider number 1.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, another Fantastic Four, issue 6. Finishing out the arc. Hope it finishes strong. We're relaunching Guardians of the Galaxy. Who's going to do this?
Oh, shoot. Who was it?
I like the Kelly Jackson Lansing.
Yeah, I like the Western theme of it.
Yeah. Derek 2 cover's pretty nice.
Very.
Great Electro cover for Miles Morales, number 5. Alex Ross Electro cover's pretty great.
The Timeless.
And then Alex Ross is doing a Kingpin cover for Moon Knight.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty great.
I like that cover A. Stefan Segovia.
Are we still on Moon Knight?
Yep. With the two Bowie knives.
I don't mind the Tom Riley.
Yep, not a bad one either.
Bloody Fists.
Looks like you're going to need to buy all three.
Might have to.
Interesting. I like that cover for Spider-Gwen Shadow Clones number 1, the second print.
Yeah.
That might be a second print worth picking up. I like that.
Yeah. Star Wars Dr. Aphra hits issue 30. Did we let the first volume hit 30? Might have. I think it wasn't much more than the 30s if it did before we relaunched it.
Got to get that number 1.
I really like the look of the anniversary cover. Looks like the cards. The Jedi cards.
Oh, okay.
Remember the Tops? Were they Tops that did those cards? I can't remember.
Sounds right.
We're going to do an Ewoks book. Could Ewoks capture some magic? I don't know.
First Dr. A for series went to issue 40.
Okay. So we're in the ballpark again. About time to relaunch. Another X-23. And another X-Men number one facsimile. Dynamite's going to give us that first scar.
Yeah, with 30 covers.
Yeah. They're all pretty nice, though. They all seemed well drawn.
Yeah. Did we get a Del Auto? Where's the? Is there a regular Del Auto?
Doesn't seem like there's a, like, it's not like an easy thing to draw.
Yeah.
Tiger, lion, right?
There's an FOC. Okay, so there's a bunch of covers. There's an FOC version. Then there's an FOC ratio version.
Is it the Jai Li?
Yeah, and then we're getting, there's also a Del Auto Red Virgin variant that we're not getting the art on. But man, I bet Del Auto's knocking that out of the park. We don't get to see Del Auto's version.
I wonder if that's just independently orderable.
I wasn't seeing it anywhere else.
Curious. Sweet Candy Vigilante finishes that up. And then our back half stuff. Cinderella versus Queen of Hearts from Zenoscope. Count Dante. It's number one. That's from Scout. Which we might have caught up in the earlier stuff from Lunar.
Griffin, spelled Griffen, number one from Whatnot Publishing. Looks like some sort of weird Star Trek thing. And honestly, your spelling has already scared me off.
That's enough. I've seen enough. Augie and the Cockroaches, number one from American Mythology. On what we're going for there.
We got more Gun Honey has a trade. Okay.
Yeah.
Hopefully they have all those covers in there. It would be nice.
Yeah, it'd be smart. And that Sokka we mentioned earlier as well. I like those. All right. Kyle, is it a slam dunk for you? You got one locked and loaded, or you got to think about it?
Spider-Gwen Shadow Clones, number one, second print, Greg Land.
All right.
How about you, sir?
No, I'm obviously thinking about it. So I think I'm going to have to go with Seasons Have Teeth. That's from Dark Horse, or from Boom, the Dan Waters book.
And shout out to whatever the Del Auto book is for Scar that we didn't get to see.
Yeah. Not quite sure.
Yeah. Heading over to Cover Price. Check out the secondary market rush and see that the number one book is Deadly Neighborhood Spider-Man number 5, the Juan Ferreira regular cover. Of course, this is our, we talked about this earlier, Dream Spider. 64 yeah. copies on the secondary market, 25 for a raw haul, but you can get them for 17. At rank 2, we have Unknown Worlds of Science Fiction number 1 from 1975. Per the Hollywood Reporter, Amazon has acquired the rights to adapt The Day of the Triffids, a 1951 novel by John Wyndham, with Chernobyl director John Rennick at the helm. However, Marvel already adapted the source material of this very comic, which led many fans to pick up this book in anticipation of the series' release. CGC 9.8 for $595, and $17 for Rawls if you can find them from the 7 days. Ego Drew, The Good Asian, number one.
Nice.
Per Deadline, the Eisner Award-winning book is getting an adaptation produced by James Wan. The news propelled this book into the top 10 after a hefty hiatus. A new batch of collectors now have this book on their radar and aim to acquire it. 37 copies sold, $70 for 9.8, $16 for all. At rank 4, we have Spider-Man The Lost Years, number 1 from 1995. Hallows Eve's ongoing solo series has finally debuted to a warm reception. Fans of the character have been waiting for it to drop for months, propping her first appearance in this book as Janine Godby onto our list numerous times. That trend continues as fans return to this book once again, tracking 17 copies, high sale of $258 for CGC 9.8, and Rawls for $28. At rank 5, Marvel Superheroes Secret Wars number 7 from 1984. Who knew multiple of these would pop, but boy they are. This book is the first full appearance of the second Spider-Woman, Julia Carpenter. Since August last year, rumors began swirling that the character would appear in Madame Web, a popular rumor at the time was that Sydney Sweeney would be portraying the character after it was announced she'd been cast in the film. Those rumors had lit a fire under them recently, as it has been reported that she would be playing the role, albeit there is no 100% confirmation as of this writing. We did track 16 copies sold. I sell $300 for CGC 9.8 and $16 for very fine. Something is Killing the Children, number 27. The Comics Pro 2023 book. Talked about this when we don't know the numbers, but we shall see. We saw a high sale of $230 for one of the Raws on this one, but you can get it for about $80. Something is Killing the Children 1, the old number 1 from 2019. CGC 9.8s are $900. Raws, you'd be lucky to get them for $280.
Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Stargirl, The Lost Children, number 4, the Todd Knock 1 in 25. Hot dang, did this book come out on fire. $88 for near mint, very fine. Someone was able to get 123 books out of one.
Yeah.
Star Wars High Republic, The Blade, number 3. The Yinlin Yu, 1 in 25. This runs for This run from Charles Soule came out swinging with an interesting story and several first appearances. While the string of first appearances ended here, the story has not. The momentum carries this book, especially since the 1 in 25U variant, as it quickly became the book to get for collectors. 16 sold, $35 for near mint. Someone got 55 for one. Star Wars Mandalorian number 8, the Terry Dodson 1 in 50. This is that Solo Grogu book. $45, maybe lucky enough to get it for 65. 16 copies moved.
Yeah, but you paid $50 for it, so is it really worth it? Something is Killing the Children, the 7th print of number 1, the Local Comic Shop Day 2020 foil. Holy smokes, this is, I guess, rare-ish. So 23 copies sold. High sale of $90 for CGC 9.8. At rank 12, we have the Omega Man, number 3 from 1983, first Lobo. 36 copies sold, 400 for a 9.8. Raws around $85. Rank 13, Wolverine, number 1 from 1982. The miniseries, very solid seller. 28 more copies sold, high sale of 440 for a CGC 9.8. Raws at 46. I've passed on that book for $10 multiple times throughout the 90s, for sure. Maybe well into the 2000s. Avengers Annual 21 comes in at rank 14. This is from 1992. More Quantumania spoilers at this point. You should probably have either seen the book or been spoiled already. But this is a Victor Timely appearance, 45 copies sold, high sale, $285 for a 9.8. Raws around $18.
Good old Victor Timely.
Yeah. Second print of The Good Asian, number 1, 12 copies sold, $15 for a raw. At rank 16, we have the Star Wars Mandalorian number 1, the one I was so disappointed in. 21 copies sold, high sale of $75 for a CGC 9.8. You can buy mine for a ham sandwich. I don't want it. Rank 17, we have Hulk number 1 from 2008. This is Thunderbolt Ross, Red Hulk. 16 more copies of this sold, high sale of $285, CGC 9.8, and Raw's around $60. X-Men number 1 comes in at rank 18. This is the 1991 Jim Lee 8 million copy seller. 13 copies sold of this with a high sale of $108.50 for a CGC 9.8 for a dollar book. I guess it's not a dollar book anymore, but it was a dollar book.
Yeah.
Marvel Superhero Secret Wars number 8, that's the black costume, comes in at rank 19. The black Spidey suit, 23 more copies of this sold, high sale of $631 for a CGC 9.8, and Rawls around $168. And rounding out the top 20 from 1998 on Image is something called Battle Chasers number 1. This series is going to resume once again after 2 decades being away with its issue number 10, quite the hiatus. I guess I should stop giving Saga such grief.
Exactly, no kidding.
You know, coming back after a successful 2017 video game based on the series and a TV show currently in the works. So 13 copies of this sold with a high sale of $132.99 for a CGC 9.8. And I'm going to have to click on it because I don't remember this from 98. And what does Battle Chasers look like? Okay. Rings a bell. Also probably several of these in the dollar bins over the years. Mm-hmm. I may have missed. Okay. Alrighty. Let's slide over to our good friends at Lunar and see what's happening with the Sneaky and the Peaky.
Of course, the Sneak Peek at next week is our fun thing we like to do. We like to see what's coming out Tuesday and Wednesday, and so we're ready to go. We are looking at our stuff for Tuesday, our Lunar releases, mostly our DC stuff. And we have Batgirls 16 with some really good covers.
Yeah, I love their color palette, man. They're really solid, well thought out, and they stick to it. I don't love reading it, but it's okay. Billionaire Cult of Dogs gives us the Pun Ultimate, 5th of 6th issues. Black Tape with issue 2. I'm excited about that. Mm-hmm. That was a fun AWA launch with a cool AC/DC homage. Danger Street with issue 4 of 12 with a Joel Jones cover B.
Oh, she's still working?
She's still working. I think she must be doing like storyboards or something, because she has not been very active in the comic world. She must be making her money somewhere else.
Junction Jones is a scout book we've got here.
Cool. New launch. Justice Society gets issue 3. Lazarus Planet, still milking that bad boy. We're at Revenge of the Gods now, which is a 4-issue series. Feels like that little event's been going on for quite some time. Miss Meow, also penultimate, with 7 of 8. Multiversity Harley screws up the DCU, a 1 of 6-issue series. Superman Lost, number 1. This is a 10-issue Superman series by Christopher Priest. I'd forgotten about this. Looks like it's a legit tale, or is this an Elseworlds deal? Doesn't seem to be Black Label.
I was going to say.
It's just part of Superman's 85th celebration.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's let Christopher Priest loose to do one. Okay.
Write a fun little thing and hurry up and wrap it up.
Yeah, 10 issues. We'll see if they get it out in this calendar year. Probably not. And Wildcats 5. And that's about it from the good friends at Lunar. Let's go see what Image has to do. Time for a break from our show to pay the bills. Check out beacons.ai/comicsfunprofit for all the C4 FAP links you could ever need. All in one place. You can provide feedback, listen, support, share, enjoy these. We have our Patreon there. You can buy us a beer or a coffee. You can check out our Instagrams, our Twitters, our Facebooks. Check out our YouTube page. You can email us. You can listen to our podcasts on Patreon, if you're a subscriber, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, on Podbean. We have Google Podcasts on there. We have an Amazon wish list. You want to buy Kyle and I something? Fine. You can do that here. We appreciate it. We have Kyle's RPG podcast listed on there, so you can check out his Dork Day Afternoon offerings. We have Cowabunga links, so you can check out the Cowabunga deep discount FOC and pre-order list. Get on that. That's RLCS, so you can check that out as well. And we want to just give you opportunities to say hi, to check out what we're doing, support us if you would like, or just listen. Check out beacons.ai/comicsfunprofit for all the C4 FAP links you could ever need. Thanks. Back to the show.
All against all, number one. Or I'm sorry, number four. And I'm sorry to say, our brood is going away, Drew.
That's okay. I couldn't even finish issue 3. Black Cloak 3, that's been a good one. And we're getting Forge number 1. Just the one cover on Forged. Greg Rucka, Albert Troutman. Yeah, I think we talked about this during FOC. We were surprised there was only one cover. A lot of restraint there. Should that be a red flag?
Or an opportunity.
Yeah. Wonder how I Hate Fairyland's doing the second time around. Image continues to celebrate its 30th anniversary into its 31st anniversary with the 11th of 12. I don't think they could have figured that timing out a little better, but you know what? I guess that makes perfect sense, you know, but you continue to celebrate it because you've had delays and it's extended beyond your year. I guess that makes perfect sense for a comic company.
I mean, fake it till you make it. So just celebrate like you're actually playing something.
Yeah. 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 We just wanted to celebrate our 30th anniversary during our 29th, and it's extended to our 30th. Or we started in our 30th and it went over to our 31st. One or the other. We knew what we were doing. Little Monsters hits number 11. No One. 1 of 10, Kyle Higgins, Brian Buccioletta. Did we say this was part of the Massiverse? Yeah.
Oh, is it?
Which made me angry. Oh, it's like, oh, that's a really good concept. Oh, wait, there's a superhero in it. Oh, wait, it's part of Massive. Oh, I'm out. Nocterra's back, Kyle, after a bit. No Breaks comes back.
With a Jilly, a dope little Jilly cover, too.
Yeah, yeah. Been gone for a while. Not sure how long.
But it came back.
Came back.
Scott came back for us.
Walking Dead gives us 5 covers for its 59th issue. Somebody die in this? I don't remember. 59. No idea.
We're in the prison? Leaving? We're in the process
of
leaving
the prison? We're out of the damn prison. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know who we could. I don't know why they're doing 5. Just cause.
Works out good because.
Berserker finishes up at Boom after a couple of
issues
years.
And
yeah,
a few. Well, I don't know if it's delays. I think they just skipped a few.
Yeah, I don't know. Was it always bi-weekly or bi-monthly?
Yeah, I think it was. No, I don't think it was in the beginning.
No, but I wonder if it, I hope it sticks the landing. I hope Keanu got everything out of it that he wanted. And I hope he plays the guy. And it makes everybody all kinds of money.
Mm-hmm.
Dark Horse gives us Masters of the Universe 2. White Savior 3, along with the Last Spy Superb. So I've got those stacked up. I haven't read either one of the first two of those yet.
Another Star Wars High Republic Adventures Without a Cover.
Nice. IDW is going to launch a Star Trek Defiant number 1. That's where, is that the one where we had that David Aja cover we really liked?
Ooh, yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah. Big fan of that.
Yep, there's that David Aja cover D.
And man, Marvel is a lot of Avengers. Bishop War College. Hellcats first issue. Yeah, that should be fun. Especially the Momoko. I was a big fan of the Momoko.
Well, yep. I like the Inyakli, but yeah.
Yeah, that's good too. Miles Morales 4. The Bacalo variant is really nice. But I don't know if it's been done to death at this point. But I kind of like it. And then lots of Star Wars. Yoda on ongoing now? Was it always a ongoing?
I don't. They didn't. It was always an ongoing, but I honestly thought it would quickly turn into like a 1-8.
Yeah. Yeah, I did too.
Excellent.
Number one, yep. I'm not sure what that is.
I liked that Rico variant, R1CO variant.
Oh, yeah. Using that same kind of art germ technique.
Mm-hmm.
Get the shine in the Photoshop tools. Draculina cosplay cover. My goodness. The old school Madballs Garbage Pail Kids poster cover. That's kind of neat. Looks like an old wrestling cover.
Oh, okay. That's or what poster. You're saying. Yeah. Yeah. It's like the Versus cover. Mm-hmm. Versus poster.
From Frank Miller Presents LLC, we have Ancient Enemies, the DeGenny. They're number one. Beowulf from Comicsburg Publishing.
A poem. Hmm, interesting.
13-year-old learns her cat has magic powers. That's interesting. Cauldron of Horrors, number one from AC Comics. Looks like an old pulp reprinty type style.
Yeah, sorry, I was stuck looking at Millionaire Island, Cult of Dogs. An interesting Chia Pet cover.
Yeah, I saw that one. That you was see that? One.
Yeah, it's got the Chia Pet, but it's got a bunch of the other, like, purchased over the internet tchotchke stuff. Like, mm-hmm. I kind of lost in it.
Junction Jones with its first issue from Scout Comics. Nowhere Man from Bad Kids Press. So it gets a first issue as well. It's a 10 issue series by Johnny Bluzit. Master Storyteller Johnny Bluzit. You know, Kyle, Master Storyteller Johnny Bluzit. You a big fan of his? I assumed
that you knew him and you were going to expound.
No, it's what it said. It called him Master Storyteller.
Sorry, I'm caught in things like The Illusion Witch, Book 1, to try to see if it's an homage, and I don't think it is. And then there's Kitty Black Dragon, number one, that I thought was kind of a Contra cover, but I don't think it is.
Yeah. Stray Sheep, which I thought was a copyright infringement on Stray Dogs, but it's mm-hmm. not. Going to be a challenge. Got a lot of things to choose from. Kyle, who gets to go first?
Ugh, I was hoping you would grab it. I mean,
I'll go first, but you might be mad if I take yours.
All right, go for it.
I'm going to take Star Trek Defiant, the David Aja cover.
Oh, that is a nice one. That was in my tabs here.
That was in there, yep.
I'm going to do the excellent number one, the Rico variant.
Okay, yeah. It is very nice. Yeah. You are correct.
Going to hope the Rico fans come out of the walls.
Lots of Marvel love from you this week.
Yeah, and it was weird. I'm there's not a whole lot that's slam dunk, but a lot of stuff really catches my eye. I've been just super lost in reading things.
Yeah.
There's some very interesting covers coming out and very interesting books coming out.
Yeah, it's going to be a good week.
So that's what we love from our comics. We love interesting and fun things, things that catch our eye, things that catch our ear. So definitely good stuff. So we want to thank you guys for following along with us. Head on over to patreon.com, search Comics for Fun and Profit. Find our Patreon. Throw us a couple bucks. Get welcomed into all the fun and craziness in the Slack channels and all the different conversations, the exclusive pods, and all the other fun stuff. So, for Drew and for myself, see ya.
As you know, our LCS is Cowabunga Comics, Lake Country, Wisconsin's best pop culture destination for new comics, back issues, gaming, retro video games, vinyl, and figures. Give them a call, 262-569-9999. Check them out online at cowabungacomics.com or follow them on Twitter at Incredical. They are our LCS, and we utilize their deep discount mail order service to bring Oconomowoc, Wisconsin closer to us. They'll take care of you. Tell them Drew and Kyle sent you. Say hi to Eric and James from us. If you need an LCS, you can't go wrong with Cowabunga Comics.